Today on Real Radio.
Paul talks about that there's some people, even in the church, he says, just say hi to them. Don't invite them over for dinner. You guys get an argument. Just say hi. How you doing? Fine. How you doing? Fine. Just be smart and leave it alone. Why? Because we don't all exactly get along. But there's one thing that we are supposed to do no matter what, and that is to strive to keep the unity of the faith.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament book of Ephesians. We'll be exploring the first six verses of chapter 4. Here, Paul, the author of the letter, stresses unity in the church universal. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation called Building with Unity.
In chapters 1 to 3, Paul has been teaching us really concerning the mystery of the body of Christ, the church. In chapter 1, he taught us that we are chosen and that we are sealed by the work of the Holy Spirit. In chapter 2, Paul was teaching us that we are saved by grace. Saved by the grace of God and not of any works of our own. In chapter 3, he taught us that we are positioned in heaven. And so the book of Ephesians is really divided into two divisions. And chapters 1 through 3, he's instructing us and giving us doctrine. Biblical doctrine is the instruction given to us how to be Christians. And I love what God does, and I love how God does it. He doesn't just post some stake out on the front of the yard and say, you know, this is how or this is where to enter in. He doesn't tell you just where to enter in. He tells you how to get there. He gives you the steps. He gives you the tools to build what is necessary to enter into that place that he has for us. And in fact, ultimately, Jesus has come to show us the way and to empower us that we might have the tools in hand to not only enter heaven, but to bring people, men, women, and children along with us into the kingdom of God. Chapters 1 through 3, doctrine on our position, how we are saved, and how we are sealed by the Holy Spirit. And remember this, that true doctrine, true Bible teaching always produces within any believer, any church, godly activity. Godly action. There are many people who go to church. They might have gone to church all their lives, but know very little about the Bible. Now, I'm not going to come down on any particular group, and I don't have any particular sect or denomination in mind. But there seems to be those who are of a very, very almost hyper-Pentecostal sway who are great at worship, great at zeal, but don't have all that much knowledge. They don't understand all of the scriptures, or they're not into the doctrine, and they're lacking, and they have a hard time perhaps sharing and leading people to Jesus Christ. They love the Lord. They're going to heaven. We love them. They're our brothers and sisters, but they're not knowledgeable concerning doctrine. And there needs to be a balance. We can become so consumed with knowing the Bible that we become eggheads, quite frankly. We become academic and never really allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. Paul, in chapters 1 through 3, gives us the instruction. Then chapters 4 through 6 puts us out into the battlefield, so to speak, or into the streets to do the work. And there's a balance, and we'll talk a little bit more about this as we get into our study tonight. But doctrine's important. In fact, in Psalm 119, verse 11, the Bible says, your word, thy word, God's word, have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. That's practical Christian living. The more Bible we have in us, the more victorious we will have as a Christian walk and as it goes along. If you're struggling, if you're having a hard time, I'm not talking about trials or tribulation periods in our lives, but if you're just struggling with sin and you're not able to overcome certain things in your life, chances are you are not violently applying the Word of God to that situation. Now, I say that to say this as well. None of us will become sinless. Do you understand that? We will not become sinless. But if there's an area or a struggle in your life, God has the power by the Word to change that situation in your life. Your Word have I hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. And I don't care how young you are this evening or how old you are. It's true. And so we need to remember that. But in chapters 4 through 6, we're going to look at the power of practical Christian living. He says in verse 1, I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to have a walk worthy of the calling which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and the Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Jot this down in your notes if you're taking them. Number one is that we are to be living, listen, we are to be living Christians. And you might say, well, what other kind of Christian is there? Well, I don't know how many churches you've been to, but I've been to some churches where I don't know if they're alive or not. Remember when Ezekiel preached to the Valley of the Dead Bones? I've been to places where I've been a guest speaker, and it's like you want to prophesy to the dead bones to stand up and wake up, and it's kind of scary. God wants us to be living Christians. He says to us in verse 1, I therefore the prisoner of the Lord. Paul is not talking about being a prisoner unto death. He's not talking about being incarcerated and awaiting his moment of having his head cut off, though that did happen to Paul later on. He's saying that he's a prisoner of Jesus Christ. For what? Unto life. When God arrests our hearts, He does so with a purpose. He has a plan for us. And He ignites our souls to want to serve Him. We mentioned what God was doing with us in Germany. One day at a school, four kids, I think the oldest one is Andy, and I think Andy is 14 years old. And his brother and their two friends, cutest little guys you've ever seen. They give their hearts to Jesus. They pray and accept the Lord. The next day, as soon as they're out of school, they didn't know where we were going to be, but they found us on the streets, and they said, do you have any flyers? Yeah, we got some. And it was horrible. It was raining and kind of snowing at the same time. They were drenched. And they said, well, we need some flyers. And they're handing out flyers. You know, less than 24 hours after giving their hearts to Jesus, their hearts were ignited. They were quickly becoming prisoners of Jesus Christ. Joy that arrests your soul. Paul says, I therefore a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are to be living Christians, which means we are to be walking. He's going to be talking about a walk 96 times in the New Testament. 96 times in the New Testament is this reference to walking after the Lord. But we're to do so in power, the power of the Lord. Jot this down in your notes or off in your margins of your Bible. Power to practice Christianity. In Romans 6:14, the scripture says, for sin shall not. It's more strong in the Greek. It's sin will not. Sin will no longer reign over you. For you are not under the law, but under grace. That's powerful. Second thing is that we have the power to practice, found in Ephesians 3:20. We looked at it earlier. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that works in us. And we studied that in depth. Another reason that we have power to practice our Christianity is in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, where the scripture says, you also as living stones. You see, we are living stones, a structure, a dwelling place of God, are being built together and built up as a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And certainly God will give us the power and the grace, no doubt, to die when that time comes. But what I'm interested in, and what you're interested in tonight, is that God will give us the grace and the power to live for him. To live for him now. A pastor this week told me concerning so many of the German youth that these kids have no direction. They have a very, very, if not non-existent, morality. And so promiscuity is rampant. That many of them are tampering and experimenting with sex 10, 11, 12 years of age. No power, no hope given, no strength, and yet so many of them believing that they're in the church, believing that they're religious. It's sad. But if you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, one of the signs that we will experience as a church is not only victory in our lives, but we will have a living Christianity, and that means as a family there'll be unity. In this church, unity. And I thank God that there is, by and large. But in every church that is alive, every church that has members in it, we are here. In fact, look around. Look around. Just go ahead. It's okay. This is it. This is the church. You're going to live with these people forever. There's the church triumphant. Some of you are going, oh, no. I told you should be praying. There's the church triumphant. That's the church in heaven. There's what is called the church militant. That's us here down on the ground. We're still fighting this fight. The church triumphant is that they're resting in heaven. There is one church, one body that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. There are those who are in heaven. There are those who are in the earth. That's why you're here tonight and you'll be here Sunday morning or serving during the course of the week, is because God teaches in the Bible that there's a local body of believers. And it's an awesome thought. I look around, this church is growing. There's a Calvary Chapel down the street, it's growing. There's a Calvary Chapel over the hill, it's growing. The Baptist church down the street is growing. The Free Methodist church down the street is growing. They are local bodies, but God is working in the midst of each one of them to eventually present us in heaven corporately. But God believes in a local body. The scriptures teach it. That's why you have epistles to the church at Thessalonica, to the church at Colossae. Very, very important. We are to be living, walking Christians. Jot this down if you would. Just in the book of Ephesians alone, I'm going to give you several verses. You can write down the verse, the scripture reference itself. In Ephesians 2:10, Paul says, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, listen carefully, which God prepared beforehand that, listen, we should walk in them. Walk in what? The good works. God's prepared for us and works that we should walk in them. I'm always excited about these trips, and especially for those who have never been before. They don't know. They're nervous. They're like, I can't do this. The first day we're going to go out and share, their tummies are all shook up. What do I do? Open your mouth. I don't have anything to say. Oh, yeah, you do. And God the Holy Spirit brings up what's been going in all the while sitting here, and it comes up. And we had one brother, he said, I don't know what I'm going to do. What am I going to do? I don't know. I'm scared. Just calm down, will you? And then we couldn't shut the guy up. Once he got going, it's like, come on, we're leaving. We got to go. If you don't get on this bus, we're leaving. He wouldn't be quiet. He was sharing Christ. He wouldn't be quiet. Walking in the works that God has ordained. Every one of us tonight, there's a work that God has in store for you to do. And when you find it, it's like plugging right in. And it totally turns you on. Absolutely. Ephesians 4:1. It's where we're at tonight. He says, I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation or the calling wherewith you've been called. Ephesians 4:17. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their minds. We have a different walk now as Christians because sin no longer has dominion over us. Ephesians 5:2 says, and walk in love as Christ also has shown us. Walk in love. We're talking about unity. Not all of us get along. Have you noticed that? Let's be honest. Come on, let's be honest. Not all of us get along. The truth of the matter is, some of you, it's like, you know, I'm just going to sit over here on this side of the sanctuary, because every time I talk to that person, we just kind of get into it a little bit. Now, think for a moment. The reason why we don't all get along is because we are related. We're related. And God uses that. Paul talks about that. There's some people, even in the church, he says, just say hi to them. Don't invite them over for dinner. You guys get in an argument. Just say hi. How you doing? Fine. How you doing? Fine. Just be smart and leave it alone. Why? Because we don't all exactly get along. But there's one thing that we are supposed to do no matter what, and that is to strive to keep the unity of the faith. We need to dwell with each other according to wisdom. If someone in the fellowship is sensitive and quiet, you don't run up to them and bowl them over. You talk to them gently. You deal with them differently. And then you turn to this guy, and this guy just might be boisterous and loud and foolish. I'm talking about me, if you haven't caught on. And you talk to him a little different. We be sensitive to each other, just like children, your kids. If you've got more than one, you know what I'm talking about. Man, when Rebecca growing up, all I had to do, if she did something wrong, all I had to do is just look at her. And her chin would go. And she'd just cry. I didn't have to spank her. I just looked. True story. Ashley, different, all the way. Don't do that. What, this? Now look, you do that again, you're going to get a spanking. I don't want to spank you. You don't want to be spanked. You do that again, and I will not disappoint you. What, this? I'd spank her, and she would not cry. She'd tighten her jaw. Totally different. You learn to deal with one another differently to strive to keep the unity. And it's the same in the body of Jesus Christ. And Paul's going to be talking more and more about this because it's so important. We will never function as a team and go outside these walls and turn the world upside down if we're a bunch of spasmatics. Really, listen, we are one in Christ. Can you imagine my hand saying, listen, I don't want anything to do with you any longer. I'm out of here. Can you imagine your foot saying, I am no longer cooperating with this deal? We are one body, but many members, the scripture says. Last night coming home, it's a good thing I did this. In my carry-on luggage, I had packed my cologne. And so we get on the airplane, and we're coming home, and I took my shoes off because it was like an 11-hour flight. And I'm not kidding. I thought for sure I had put on a fresh pair of socks in the morning. I reached into the wrong bag and I pulled out a pair of socks that I'd like worn all week in Germany. So I was slipping off my shoe and I think, man, this plane stinks. And it was me. And you're walking around, you know, and you stub your toe. You stub your little toe. Nobody sees it. You stub that thing, and the whole body's limping. What's wrong with you? Well, you know, my toe. I stubbed my toe. And your whole body's keeling over to one side. We're one body. And we are to be unified. If the Holy Spirit is moving in this church and in our lives, we're going to be going in the same direction. We'll have the same vision. And that's how God works within a local body. And every local body has a different function, just as every person within the church has a different function. But listen to this, verse 1, we are called by Him. It says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to have a walk worthy of the calling which you were called. It's an important word. In Ephesians 1:18, he says that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know. It's God's will that you know what is the hope of your calling. Your calling.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation taken from the first 6 verses of Ephesians 4, where Paul emphasizes unity in the church universal. Building with Unity is the title of this presentation, and we'll continue with more on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Remember, the chief purpose of Real Radio is to strengthen you in your faith and to present God's scriptural truth to non-believers that they might come to a saving knowledge of Messiah. Now, of course, being in this world, doubt creeps in from time to time. Now, on the surface, doubt can be discouraging. It seems like a bad thing. But remember, even the closest of Messiah's followers struggled with it. Disciple Peter had times of doubt. The word doubting has forever been attached to doubting Thomas, another of Jesus' disciples. Even the great prophet John the Baptist knew the struggle of doubt personally. We all struggle with doubt. Now, this is why Pastor Jack has put together a 2-part DVD presentation called Why Do We Struggle with Doubt? Why Do We Struggle with Doubt? Gives us 10 reasons why we all struggle with doubt in our lives as believers, no matter what kinds of doubts you've had about the faith. Pastor Jack has likely dealt with the issue. So here's our offer for this month. For your gift of any amount in support of the ongoing work of Real Radio, we'll send you this 2-part DVD set, Why Do We Struggle with Doubt? Again, for your gift of any amount to the ongoing work of Real Radio, we'll be glad to send your way this 2-part DVD set, Why Do We Struggle with Doubt? Visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Our telephone number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO. 877-RR-RADIO. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.